Well, I greet you on Good Friday 2020, and as I was looking forward to this Good Friday, I was thinking this week on the truth about James 4, especially verse 13 to 16, which says this: "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, and we'll engage in business and we'll make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." We literally need to say, "if the Lord wills," about our plans. This winter, I had many plans for business and many plans for ministry and some hopes for time off. So many plans, so many projects, and they all came to a screeching halt. And I was really unprepared for all of this. Of course, I could console myself with the thought that no one else was prepared either. But the lesson that the Lord wants me to learn in these circumstances is that I need to say and believe, if the Lord wills. I had great plans for this Easter. None of those plans came to pass. I had plans for this week, and none of those came to pass. And now I stand here alone on Good Friday, and it is as the Lord wills. I had learned this lesson when we were missionaries in Russia, but 20 years passed by, and I forgot. Shame on me that I needed to learn such an important lesson again. How long will COVID-19 persist? No one really knows. Even the best informed are only making educated guesses. In reality, it could be worse or better. It could take longer or shorter. We don't blame them. They're not prophets or the sons of prophets. They're just ordinary folk, most of them doing their very best. The important thing for me is that I would do God's will today. That I would do God's will today. Everything hangs on that. I need to learn all I can from these extraordinary times. I won't get this chance again. The Lord is teaching. Are you listening? Do not see this time as a setback, but see it as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Opportunity to learn, and in fact, an opportunity to teach. Are you teaching your children right now? This is how we act in a crisis. This is the wisdom that God gives us in a crisis. Are you teaching your neighbors, your friends? Did you hear me? Just let that sink in. Now, the devil's delighted about COVID-19, but the Lord permitted it, and he intends that it will accomplish his own good plans. John 10:10 says this: "The thief comes to only steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." In the midst of this pandemic, the devil is every day stealing, killing, destroying. And that's obvious to all of us. But should we be only seeing what the devil is doing? Look up, friends. Raise your eyes up from the sidewalk. Where are your expectations? What is it that you expect from God? Do you expect good from God? Matthew 7:9. "What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" That's Jesus' challenge to you today. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, why do you malign God's character and suppose that he will not answer and give you even better gifts than you ask for? Now, for example, if your children come to you and they ask you for marshmallow and jelly beans for breakfast, you may insist on giving them something that actually is good for them. Likewise, our Father in heaven knows what will actually satisfy your hunger and give you strength. Stop complaining and eat your vegetables. God's giving you exactly what you need. Eat up. Stop murmuring. What he is giving you, he has given or he has not given for your good. Let me make that more clear. Some things he's given you for your good, other things he has not given you for your good. When we come to him, we must expect that he, our Heavenly Father, who sent Jesus into this world for our salvation, at the greatest possible expense to himself, Jesus said he came to bring life, and that life more abundantly. Ask your Father and ask that he will replace your request with what he thinks is best. The very best gift came on Good Friday, before you were born. Stop looking to the gifts of God and look to the gift of God. Jesus is the greatest gift God ever gave to this world. The apostle said that everything he ever possessed or achieved was like dog dirt compared to knowing Christ. Is knowing Christ your greatest desire? Good Friday was absolutely necessary so that you may know Christ. That's the whole point of Jesus' death. Death on a cross. What an insult. What a crime. What stupidity that we would seek the gifts of God and not God himself. This is Good Friday. Good for whom, I might ask? Jesus died for your good. He was rejected in your place. He was hated in your place. He suffered in your place, and he died in your place, and he went to the grave in your place, and he rose to life in your place. It's Good Friday for you. And it was Good Friday for Jesus, because he came to this world to save it, and that couldn't happen unless he died for this world. But what will you do this Good Friday with Jesus? And you might ask me, well, what do you mean? I mean that the cross is the center of all history. Have you ever heard the phrase, the crux of the story? It means the very central point of a story or the central point of an argument or a speech. Crux actually comes from the word cross. The cross is the center of all history. And that may be easy to concede. But the cross is the center of your life as well. Whether you desire it to be or not, the cross is the center of your life. What you do about the cross decides everything about your life and your eternity. Luke 23:1. We pick up the story of Jesus. He's been with the priest. They've interrogated him. They've decided they want to put him to death, but they can't, so they bring him to Pilate. And it says the whole company of them rose up and brought him before Pilate. The chief priests brought Jesus to the Roman governor because they did not have the authority to put anyone to death. But Pilate was no one's fool. He was a good judge of men, or he wouldn't have got to be the governor. Pilate seen that the priests hated Jesus because of jealousy. It was a power struggle. They would not, could not submit to the leadership of Jesus. He was a prophet. That was acknowledged by almost everyone. Only those who stood to lose power denied his authority. Today you face the same decision as the priests. And may I suggest to you, it's a power struggle in your life as well. Will you resist him or kneel in humble submission? Will you acknowledge his authority is from God? Will you see that he is the Lord and Master and your owner, and that he has the right to do anything he wills with your life and future, and all your days belong to him? The priests and the Pharisees, they said no. They said, we will not have this Jesus for our king. Friends, Jesus does not offer to be your coach. He will be your Lord and King, or one day he will be your judge and send you to your doom. Pilate asked, what crime had Jesus committed? And they said, he's a bad man and he misleads the people. And Pilate said, judge him for yourself according to your own law. Pilate wanted no part in their intrigue, so he sent him back. He tried to send him back. But how many of us today would say, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites there. I don't like the people there. I don't like the behavior of those people. Jesus didn't go away when Pilate sent him back. And Jesus will not go away from you if you try to send him back. Do you blame your low spiritual life because of the failure of people? Jesus is still standing there waiting for you to decide. Is he king or no? You cannot let anyone decide for you. It does not matter, even one little bit, who has failed you. Jesus still waits. Did your father fail you? Did your mother fail you? Did the pastor or the elder fail you? Jesus would be king in your life. Will you have him? Pilate said, I find no fault in this man, but they said, he has stirred up the people even in Galilee. Whoa! And then Pilate thought he'd seen his way out. He didn't want to convict an innocent man, but the priests were dangerous and influential, and he didn't want trouble with them. Oh, Jesus is a Galilean. Good. Then he's not my responsibility. He's not my culture. He's not my race. Oh, yes, we've all had those days. Perhaps you're there right now, and you'd like to send Jesus and his exclusive claims of being God and being the only Savior and all of his demands of kingship to somebody else to deal with. Those were different times, you might say. That was a different culture. Well, I'm a contemporary progressive person. I don't want to think about Jesus. So Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, but Herod sent him back. So Pilate's problem persisted just as yours does. Pilate asked Jesus in John 19, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus told everyone that is of the truth, here's my voice. And Pilate asked, what is truth? Pilate tried to avoid the question, tried to avoid his decision by posing philosophical questions. What is truth? It was a cynical question. What's the meaning of life and existence? Is this whole life of ours illusionary? Are we meaningless collections of atoms colliding with each other? But there stood Jesus, real as ever. Philosophy wouldn't make Jesus go away for Pilate, and it won't work for you either. You must accept him or reject him as your king, and your philosophy will not spare you the responsibility of your decision, and your decision will determine your destiny and eternity. Luke 23:13. Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people. You brought this man to me, he said. I have examined him, and I find no fault in this man. So Pilate appealed to the people, to popular opinion. He hoped with some reason that the people would rally behind Jesus and support him. After all, it had only been a week since he rode triumphantly into Jerusalem on the back of the donkey and the people laying their coats out as a carpet. Pilate hoped that the people would choose to release Jesus and that he would be spared responsibility. But popular opinion is a fickle thing and it changes quickly. People need the scantest of evidence and only self-interest. No, the wisdom of popular opinion cannot be depended on. People's passions change like the weather. You cannot depend on the opinions of the public, of your neighbors, of your friends. You cannot depend on popular opinion. What do those folks think of Jesus? Will they accept him as their king? Beware. When people have made their decision to reject Christ, they will accept anyone or anything in his place. On that day, they chose Barabbas, the murderer. And that has been the pattern all through history. The Russians rejected God and chose Lenin and Stalin, the murderers. The Germans rejected God and chose Hitler, the murderer. And the Chinese chose Mao Zedong, the murderer. And hundreds of millions were murdered in the 20th century as these nations rejected Christ and chose men instead as their Savior. It does not matter at all. Jesus still waits for your answer. Do you make him your king? But beware, when you reject the truth, you have only lies to choose from. When you reject the Son of God, you will end up with the sons of the devil to choose from. Beware rejecting Jesus as your king. Because when you choose if Jesus will be king, or if you decide that you will be king, it's the devil who actually sits on the throne of your life. Remember, Jesus came to give you abundant life. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Choose abundant life. Pilate chose to reject Christ's claims, and he disappeared from history. But we know this. He has known every single day from that first Good Friday what he decided And you will also know from this day forward what you have decided. Choose Jesus to be your King. Choose abundant life. Let this day be the day. Oh, I'm speaking to unbelievers. I'm also speaking to those who once knew Jesus as their first love, but now have grown cold in their hearts. Once you loved Him, He was your treasure, your all in all, but now you watch from a distance, just like Peter the Apostle did when he denied knowing Jesus. Oh, friend, don't delay. You do not know that this very night your soul may be required of you. Tomorrow you might stand before the throne of God in judgment. If Jesus is your King, He will mediate for you, and His sacrifice, His death, will be enough. And you will hear yourself declared innocent and be invited into God's heaven. Friend, do not delay. Do not wait another day. Do not be enticed by all this world offers, but return with all your heart. He will receive and He will restore a humble and a contrite heart. He will not reject. Friend, I appeal to you. Make this your Good Friday. When you put to death the old self, the old you, and you make Jesus your King. O sinner, come to Jesus and make Him your King, and finally discover the abundant life that your heart has yearned for all of your days. And backslider, I appeal to you as well. Don't walk at a distance any longer, letting your life be a denial of what you know to be true. But come back to Him and let Jesus again be your first love. Let this be the best Good Friday of all your days. Amen.